All right, the purpose of this study is to encourage us to devote ourselves to prayer. Not to study about prayer, but to devote ourselves to it, to actually begin to devote ourselves. And devote means to dedicate. To dedicate ourselves to prayer. And let's persevere in this. The actual doing, not the study of it, but the actual doing of it, so that God will give us His joy. That's our goal. To experience joy in a devotion to prayer that is constant. This is where we get the idea of God giving us joy in the house of prayer. It comes from Isaiah chapter 56, verses 6 and 7. And foreigners, that would be non-Jews, that's us. Foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to Him. To minister to Him. You see that? Not to minister for Him, ministering to Him. To love the name of the Lord and to be His servants. All who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant. These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. And remember, we, the church, is a spiritual house. Amen. Where God dwells by the Spirit. We are that house. Yes. So we are those who come together in prayer. And in that devotion to prayer, God gives us joy. And their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. Peter said that we are a royal priesthood offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Yes. And then the passage finishes with, "For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations."
Brother.
Yes, sir.
I think it is important to note that Abraham, who is the root of the Hebrews, mm-hmm. Abraham was a Chaldean.
He was. And the Hebrew actually means one who comes across.
Yes.
And so that's a good point. Remember what we spoke about last week? We're seeking to learn to pray in the Spirit because God is Spirit.
Yes.
So our fellowship, our communion with Him will take place in the realm of Spirit. And so we need to create a closet. The idea of a closet, a secret place, a special place. So I'm asking you to think about your home. Think about where you live. And think about a place that you can dedicate to where you devote this place. As a place where your body and your soul will become still. And that your body and soul will submit to your spirit. So that you seek to enter into the Spirit, drawing near to God. This is very intentional. Intention means you have to choose to do it. You have to decide, I will do this. And I'm asking you to. I'm asking you to think about where your setting is and choose the best place for you to be quiet, alone, still, to where your body and soul can become quiet and still and tranquil. And you seek to enter into the spirit of prayer. You draw near to God. And the goal of drawing near to God is that God will then draw near to us in a special way, in an intimate time. Now remember this about the place, okay? And about whether you're sitting or whether you're standing. Some people enjoy walking in prayer. And remember, the internal disposition of your heart is much more important than the external position. Whether you're in the rocking chair, or whether you're on the couch, or whether some people have in the past have prayed on their knees. If your knees don't bother you and that's where you would like to pray, some people pray on their belly, worshiping. You know, actually laid out. A.W. Tozer would do that. Just on a rug, just sprawled out before the Lord, worshiping. But the position you're in with your body is not near as important as the condition of your heart. That you come with a broken and a contrite heart, and that you've been careful with your heart to prepare it for this time with the Lord. And beware. Let me encourage you about this and remind you to beware of this. We're not just doing this so you can say, well, I've done it because the pastor asked me to do it. We're seeking to draw near to God with our hearts. Jesus warned about the people of Israel. He said of them, these people draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And he said, their worship of me is in vain. And I don't know if you realize this. Most people think that when the Bible says in the Ten Commandments that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, that it's talking about using God's name in some slang. It's not talking about that at all. What it's talking about is claiming to be God's people, taking his name upon yourself, and yet your heart is not really loving him. That's vain worship. And the warning about that is he will not cleanse those who do this. God will not forgive someone if they persist in a surface, superficial approaching him that's not genuine and deeply rooted in their heart. So let's beware of vain worship. And I would call vain worship merely trying to accomplish your Bible reading program for the year. Just trying to get your verses done. Because you're trying to read through the Bible in a year and you just got to get through them. Even if you run through it and hardly can remember a thing you did, that's pretty vain. It may help in some ways, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about just having a time just so that you can say, I did it. No, we want to experience our Heavenly Father. We want to be still and there drawing near him so that he can draw near us and we can learn to experience him in a genuine, deep, transforming way. So it's very important as you begin to do this, choose the best time. Do not wait till the end of your day or whenever it is. And when you're tired, choose your best time. Be alert. Don't wait till you're starving and your stomach's rumbling and then you're going to start praying and you can't even concentrate because you haven't prepared. Think about a time that works best and think about a time that you can maintain consistently. Regularly. Set a time. Start at this time and pray till this time. That's what I'm talking about. And prepare like you would for a guest. You set it. Let's say you want to do it at 7 o'clock. And you're going to, from 7 to 8, you turn off your phone. You're not answering the door. You're not checking your email. You're not looking at text messages. You are there to draw near to God. You're devoting that time to him. And so choose the time that will work consistently for you. Okay?
Pastor.
Yes.
He was in a sick bed, but family would call him throughout the day and week and everything, to just talk with them and everything, and ask how he's doing. But I remember if you called during a certain hour, he would not pick up the phone because that was his time to hear scripture and on his radio, and
yes, and I know we're not going to make, I'm not wanting to make this a law. And there's not a formula to follow. But what I'm encouraging you to explore is dedicate a time and make that time a sacred time for you and the Father. Just like you would a good friend. You arrange to meet a friend and to spend time with them and you set the time aside. Do that. Choose the best time and the best place where you won't be distracted, okay? Turn your TV off. Turn the radio off, okay? And prepare your heart. And guard against any interruption. You know, choose a place and time where that it'll be the best chance not to be interrupted or distracted in any way. And then the important thing is to still your body. Quiet your soul. Remember, we're seeking to enter into spirit. And this is an exercise of self-control. So get comfortable. If you need to have a glass of water by you, or I like to have a cup of coffee, right? You know, because I'm in with a very good friend, you know, when I'm with the Lord. And it's like I'm spending time with my very best friend. We're talking, and it's nothing unsacred about having something like that, you know, with you. Yeah, someone had a question over here?
Yeah.
Priscilla?
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I got to a confused state here. And you started, you said, you got to learn how to pray properly. So then there's an incorrect way to be praying. And then it's like, you find a secret place, right? But then it doesn't matter what the place looks like or where it's at.
Well, the idea of secret is it's just you and the Father. I'm using the word secret because Jesus said, enter into your closet, pray to the Father in secret, and He will reward you openly. So Jesus understood and taught that it needs to be quiet, just you and the Father. That's the idea of the secret. It's not necessarily, you can be kind of in secret in a crowd, you know, inside in your spirit. But what I'm encouraging is you to find a place that's alone and quiet just for you and the Lord. Yeah, Vivian?
Man, that new word running around has got a different meaning. An automobile manufacturing, you know, what they call it, like a memory, the metal. Nowadays, it seems that they put it together, and if you hit it and dent it,
it'll come back to its...
It'll come back on its own, or you can take something and pull it out.
This is, I know where you're heading. You are right. Our body can be trained in that way to where we get used to. We can train our body to get still by going to the same place, doing the same thing regularly. And you'll find that your body will learn to adjust to what you're asking it to do. You can make it be still. You can quiet your soul. It may take a few minutes. Remember we talked about that last week. It may be uncomfortable or unnatural at first, but it will be through faith. And now the idea is a beginning. Many believers begin this time, once they've come to this place, wherever they've chosen, and they begin their time, many believers begin with their Bible. They begin by reading in their Bible. Because it's a way to just kind of get your focus started, you know, and to kind of direct your thoughts towards the Lord. Beware of wandering thoughts. That's one of the places you'll see wandering thoughts. As you begin to read, you'll become aware of other thoughts that try to come and distract you. And it'll teach you how to take those thoughts captive and focus your mind and focus your heart. One thing about reading your Bible. This is something that I don't think we stress enough. Amen. Do not seek information. Yes. You're seeking transformation.
Yes.
The scriptures have the Spirit of God in them.
Amen.
They are spirit and they are life. They are God-breathed. And we shouldn't be reading to check off a reading plan. And we shouldn't be reading just for interest. We should be seeking truth that will transform us, renew our mind. It should be a search for ever greater understanding. You want to understand. And for that reason, let me encourage you, think about where you want to read. You know, if you want to read in the book of Numbers and you want to read the list of names that's 120 people long, and just do it to yourself, you'll be wondering, what am I supposed to get out of this? Or you could say, I need to know what Jesus said. And so you go to the Gospels and you're looking, you just choose to read all the words in red. If you got one of those red letter Bibles, you want to know, but you need to seek something. You know, when I read, something will stimulate me. Recently, it's the word goodness. God working in us His goodness. And I have looked for every single passage in the Scripture where goodness is used. I'm reading, but I'm not just random reading. I'm searching for truth. I want greater understanding of this. Let me encourage you, read like that. Search for a deeper understanding. Maybe something in Sunday school. Maybe something in the message on Sunday stimulated you and you want, I need to understand this more. Read for that. Get what it, and if you need help to know, well, how do I do that? Ask me or ask someone else older in the Lord. And there are helps that can actually direct you to search and study, because what you're looking for is for understanding. You want that. Here's what you're basically seeking. You want what the writer understood to become your understanding. You want to see what was in his mind. He wrote those words for a reason. He had something in mind. And when you discover what he intended to say, he's imparting to you, you're receiving the understanding from it.
Brother.
Yes.
Solomon, in the book of Proverbs chapter 2, he says that if we search as for a treasure,
yep,
then we will understand and we will acquire the knowledge, right, of God.
Right. I treat the Bible like it's the deep sea and you're Jacques Cousteau and you are exploring. You are looking for all the treasures that are in the Scriptures. And if you need help in that, ask and seek help. I did when I was a young believer. I would go to someone who understood more and get help from them. And so we're reading to understand and to remember. Okay? Not to keep up with some kind of schedule. All right? It's not how much you read. I think that's in my next... It's not so much how much you read, but the quality of your time. It's far more important. The quality of what you retain than just the number of verses you've made it through. Now, for some of us, that the Bible is still a little bit new to us, and we're still getting to learn it, there's another help in helping to quiet and direct your mind, and that's something called daily devotionals. How many of you use or read a daily devotional? Okay? Daily devotionals, like the daily bread, you know, that's an example of a daily devotional. But I have a list for you here of daily devotionals. And this list comes from the devotion queen, my wife. She has used nearly all of these. And the things that she writes or draws or sends and the quotes that she remembers have come from these. And any one of these are available. And sometimes they can kind of get you started. They inspire you with an insight, and it these things minister to your spirit, and if you consider them carefully and you begin, it may take 5 minutes or so to read this, but it'll help. It'll give your body time to kind of settle in. Your soul gets quiet before you even begin your time of prayer. I kind of consider these devotionals like vitamins. They're almost like spiritual vitamins that another mature believer has kind of taken some truths and put them in a concentrated form and given to you so that they've done the research and the homework and they've seen how things have come together and they've presented it in a way to you that's easier to understand. But just basically this time beginning either reading the word or reading a devotional, or you can do both. Can do both. It helps settle you. It helps you find that tranquil state for your body and your soul. And these things are there to feed your spirit. And your spirit can be fed and strengthened and oftentimes stimulated I'm kind of almost awakened in this process. Yes.
I would add to that, and this is personal to me, that if journaling has been a real blessing to me.
Okay.
I know everybody doesn't do that, but journaling.
What Dina says is, as she reads, she journals. She has a journal, and sometimes it's just, especially if a thought comes, a memory comes, an insight comes, she writes it down. We have journals from her since high school days, probably. Volumes and volumes where you can look back and reflect. What are you journaling? An insight, concern for someone, just a thought you had, maybe a struggle you're going through. Sometimes she'll write down a prayer.
Like a diary.
Yeah, like a diary. It's just a spiritual diary, just to keep. It's just a way. All of these are spiritual things that you can do in your time of drawing near the Lord. As you begin to move into prayer, speaking to God, remember Hannah. Do you remember who she was, Samuel's mother?
Yes.
This is a scripture from 1 Samuel chapter 1. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying, look what it says, in her heart. And her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. In other words, she was praying in her heart. You realize you don't have to pray out loud. God can read your thoughts. I do not generally speak out loud in my prayers. That's just me. But you may be more, it may help you more to speak. There's not a formula. I just wanted you to know that you can just communicate with your heart. If it just helps you be still and undistracted, sometimes your own voice will distract you. You know, if you're quiet. So it's just you're communicating to God. He reads your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. And as you just begin to approach Him, He can hear your heart. You just express your thoughts from your heart. You don't even need to say them with your mouth if you don't want to. But that's up to you. You can do that either way. I just wanted you to know there is such a thing as just praying in your heart on the inside.
Now, the other thing, brother, is that prayer is a commandment.
Sure.
Pray without ceasing.
Sure. And I want us to, that's our goal, to fulfill that commandment.
It's not a suggestion.
Well, but I want us to find the desire and the delight in it. Because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And He wants it to be a willing sacrifice, not a reluctant one. That's the only thing I'm wanting to avoid. I don't want someone leaving here feeling guilty and feeling bad. I want you inspired. This is an opportunity to train yourself to enjoy your Heavenly Father and to share your heart with Him. Remember, as you begin to pray, remember you're talking to the God of the universe who is aware of every single thought of every single person on the earth at once.
Yes.
He knows everything. He knows what you're going to say before you finish it. He knows. If you don't say it and you think it, He knows it. He knows it. He knows everything. So if you're aware of this, remember what Solomon wrote, the teacher wrote in Ecclesiastes, guard your steps when you go to the house of God.
Yes.
Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they're doing wrong. What are they doing wrong? Well, they're quick with their mouth. They just approach it. They rush into it thinking, I need to tell God. God, did you realize? Think about that. Yes, God realized. You know,
Yes, Brother Gary.
I like that. And I like what you said earlier about praying. You know, you don't have to necessarily pray out loud. Just a couple comments that I have created a little chart where I go through the book of Psalms and Proverbs.
Yes.
And then you can, because there's so many
prayers,
Psalms,
mm-hmm.
you can cover it over a longer span of
yes.
time and work your way all the way
right.
through and come back. But I would also suggest or a comment that even though we may create a plan or go by a devotional book, once in a while the spontaneity and the creativity of the Holy Spirit is, today I'm not going to use that. Lord, you show me, Holy Spirit, what to read.
Yes.
Or put on a worship song as you start. Those are just songs.
Right, and that's it's so important to know there is not a formula. You cannot teach a formula. We can only give you ideas, and we can discuss ways the different believers do it. But what Gary said is very important. Remember, you're coming, and this verse actually says it. Guard your steps when you go near the house of God. Do not be quick to utter anything with your mouth, or hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, you are on earth, so let your words be few. We go near to listen. Go near, that's let God lead you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Learn. Look for the leading of the Holy Spirit. What will that look like? He will begin to guide your thoughts. Your thoughts will begin to be directed. And He may direct you to a certain passage. You may be in one place, and like Brother Gary said, suddenly you have the idea to turn to this passage. Just listen. Just be in a state where you're all ears, okay?
Pastor
Evan? Yes.
Can I say something? When Hannah was in the temple and she was praying out and there was no words coming out of her, they thought she was drunk.
Yes.
So when we say go to a secret place and be still and be on your own, it's because even the priest thought she was crazy or drunk.
Yeah.
And people will discourage you. So if you're in your secret place, there's no one to discourage you or distract you or anything. That's the important part of being in your own secret place. And He does speak to us if
He does.
We're on our own. And another thing about when we can't verbalize, the Holy Spirit is already, there's times that you'll groan and moan in your own spirit because you can't express yourself to God the way you want to, but the Holy Spirit is already interceding for you. So there's a special place being in that special place.
And she's referring to what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. There are times you're not sure what to pray. You're not sure what the importance... You know, if you know a young couple, a married couple, and they're struggling, you don't really know who's doing what. Or, you know, you haven't heard both sides of the story, so you're not sure. You're just concerned. The Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us sometimes with groanings too deep for words. And so, remember, it's God is just concerned about your heart. If you're concerned for someone, He's reading that concern. You're bringing that concern to Him. It's not the particular words you use. It's your love, and it's your concern, it's your faith that He is responding to. Okay. Let's say you want to begin. Where do you begin to talk to Him? Like, to talk to Him. Well, there's a beautiful psalm. It's one of my favorites. I learned it when I was a kid. I learned it in kindergarten right here in this room. I think I said it right here in this room. Yeah. It's Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And serve the Lord with gladness, and come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Then it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures unto all generations. But it says, you notice, enter His gates with thanksgiving. There's a great place to begin. I often begin just with thankfulness. And how many things are there to be thankful for? If you spend some time there, brothers and sisters, your spirit will awaken. It will. You can see. You can hear. Your heart's beating. You have a place to stay. You've been fed. You've been protected. You've been blessed with grandchildren, with children. You just begin to contemplate all the things you have to be thankful for. And you just, I'm not necessarily saying thank you, Lord, for everyone. I'm just thinking about it. My wife, Anna, my children, my grandchildren. I'm just thinking, but I'm just in my thoughts. I'm just thanking God. I'm so grateful for His kindness and His mercy to me. And minutes can go by. Minutes can go by as you just think through your family. And it's so interesting how oftentimes, right as you're giving thanks, then suddenly you find yourself, Lord, I want to continue to receive your protection. I want to continue to receive your guidance. Lord, teach me your ways. Lord, continue to protect my children. Protect my grandchildren, Lord. And it just flows from thankfulness to suddenly the same people, prayers just come out of your heart. You're in the Spirit and you're beginning to communicate, you know, to God. It's my phone. It's bad. It's that bad. Like wow. So this time of Thanksgiving, you don't want to rush. I don't want to put a time on you, but let me give you a goal. Set aside an hour. Set aside an hour. It's not. Why did I say that? Because a lot of times a TV show is an hour. Look, if you can sit and watch a TV show, can you sit in prayer for an hour? Of course you can. Of course you can. That's just a start, not a law. If you finish before then or you go way beyond, it's just give yourself a goal and give yourself time. Don't rush through this. And spend a lot of time in thankfulness. And you know what? It's okay to thank the Lord for the same things over and over. Amen. And over. Aren't you grateful for another day of protection?
Amen.
Oftentimes at the end of the week, it's Saturday, I'm thinking, Lord, you've protected us all week. I bless you. I thank you. And the next prayer is, and Lord, I want the same protection next week. I'm about to begin a new week. Lord, I want to live under your protection. I want you to guide me. I want you to direct me. I want you to keep me. It just flows. It's a natural conversation. Yes, Priscilla.
You know, I get everything you're saying, and I'm sorry if I ask again. So there's not an improper way to pray. Because I've been told so many times, some have taught that, your prayer can be one sentence long, and it's just as effective as if you pray for like 20, 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, so you do start being thankful and you want to be cheerful, but sometimes, you know, you have some stuff really weighing on you and you're in
yes.
mood. And it took a while, and just on my own, I say, I can get upset. So sometimes in my prayer times, I am talking upset.
Yeah.
But then, of course, by the end, I ask forgiveness, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. So is there an actual inaccurate
no.
prayer?
No.
Yes,
yes.
And, you know,
read the Psalms. You'll see that David sometimes was very distraught and battling thoughts. And you can see this in the book of Psalms. And like, for example, you may want to come and you're trying to be thankful, but then suddenly this battling, this emotion, go ahead and deal with that. I mean, the Lord knows that that may be more important for you at the time to just work through that and ask the Lord to help you. That's what, see, there's no formula. You can't say, well, I can't deal with this yet because the pastor says I have to start with Thanksgiving. No, no. That's a formula. No. If that, you know, as you're approaching something, whatever's in your heart, if you need to deal with it there. You know? And because sometimes, as we're even getting near to approach God, and that's one thing I didn't necessarily mention this, James talked about, as you draw near to God, to wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Sometimes, as you begin to approach God, you remember an attitude you showed towards someone. You remember something you said that you regret. And that's a time to go ahead. If it's brought to your mind, you simply acknowledge it to God. You just agree with him that that was wrong because you're being convicted that it was wrong. So you—that's what confession is. You just agree with God, Lord. I know that was wrong. teach me, show me how next time, teach me your way, show me how it happens, show me what I can do, cleanse my heart, you know, strengthen that area I'm weak in, however it comes to your heart, however it comes to you, deal with that area and ask for his help. It's not going to be a formula, you know, and that's one thing I even hesitate in trying to teach a step process. My purpose is, I feel that we should pursue, all of us, devoting ourselves to prayer constantly. I don't feel that it's necessarily upon me to teach you the way to pray, but to lead you to pray, and to pray and find joy in prayer, and you'll learn. And as you begin to do this, questions will come up. You can talk about it. You can talk about it with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You can talk about with your friends. You know, they'll have experiences. Vivian?
In the 1960s, there came out a writer, a priest, or somebody, I can't remember who. He came out with a book called Are You Running With Me, Jesus? Get an idea of the constant prayer. It was not a formula as such. It was just a prayer that he uttered once in a while when he was going to go to somewhere to do some business. Be running with me. Stay with me.
Yeah. You know, I try to stay in a communion with the Lord in a spirit of prayer and listening when I'm driving, when I'm working in the kitchen. But what I'm talking about for our time here is a time when we are very focused. We are trying to minimize every distraction and learn to experience a depth of intimacy. I do believe that there are degrees of richness that we can experience in the kind of prayer that I'm talking about, setting aside a time, devoting yourselves to meet with God at that time. Remember, I've already reminded you that many of the great revelations that happened between God and man happened during the times that men had dedicated a time to pray. And they were in that time of prayer that they regularly prayed when God chose to give them the answer. In a way, not honoring the time of the day, honoring what they had dedicated to him. And that's why I'm encouraging you to dedicate a time, set a time. And yes, stay in the spirit of prayer. Stay listening. Stay alert. Stay enjoy the Lord. Remember, I've been encouraging you, wean yourself from the noise. You know, a lot of us have become accustomed to a lot of filler time. We just fill time with noise, either TV or radio or something else. I'm asking you, consider weaning yourself from that, because the Bible talks about set your mind on things above. Set your heart on things above. Be intentional. Seek the Lord. Draw near. And you're going to experience a richness. As you're in the time of thankfulness, this thought came to me. Expand your conscious thankfulness. Expand it. The more time you spend thinking about all the things you have to be thankful for, you'll find it very surprising how many little daily mercies. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. You can think about creation. The fact that there is, you're breathing air. You realize the reason you're breathing air is because of the special way God made the earth. There's an atmosphere here. And because of that atmosphere, the sun rays are filtered. We don't burn up. And that God set the earth a certain distance from the sun, and it maintains that distance. And the earth turns at just a perfect speed where we get warmth without burning up, and we don't freeze, we don't get too hot. All of these things we enjoy every single day by God's goodness. That the earth brings forth plants, that there's animals, that there's light and color and depth and sound and feeling. There's so many things that God made for us to enjoy. And when you are thinking about what He has made in that way, you're worshiping. You're worshiping Him. You're giving Him thanks. You're actually recognizing, Lord, You thought about this. You've made this for our enjoyment. You made this. You're incredible. You know, the beauty of flowers, the beauty of the sky. There's hard things, there's soft things, there's huge things, there's micro things. I mean, there's so much. If you contemplate the work of His hands, it will lead you to see how powerful, how wise, how creative, how good that He is. And you'll begin to understand Him more and more. And then your own personal life, the people in your life that He has used to bless you and strengthen you and help you, your health. And I realize for some of us that are older, we deal with health issues. But I tell you, doesn't that make you very grateful for everything you're still able to do? You can walk, you're breathing, you can still eat. You're not having, you know, your conscience, you're awake, you can sleep. I mean, not well, but you can sleep. I mean, these things do not take for granted. And then I encourage you in this area of your family and friends, this is a wonderful time to begin to really think about your family and friends. Let me tell you about this about me. There was times that I didn't give my family and friends enough thought, and I didn't pray for them. And I have learned by spending time with the Father that I can actually mention before the Father people that I have met since my early Christian days. Literally by revisiting my personal spiritual history, and I start thinking of families that I met and I interacted with. And the husband comes back to my mind, and the wife, and the children. And I mean, and of course it happened in this city. And so I just say, how many people can I remember that I just touched my life in that time, or when I was a part of this church or that church, and then I moved to this city. And it's just a wonderful time of giving thanks for the different people that you've met that all have made an impact on your life. And think about, when you begin to think about your family and friends, one of the things that's going to come to your mind is some of them really need the Lord. They really, and you realize that you're grateful that they're still alive. You're grateful that God has been showing them mercy. But then that can turn right into, Lord, draw them to Yourself. Help them see. Lord, help them. Help them recognize their need of You while there's time. Thank You that You're so long-suffering. Thank You that You're so patient. Thank You that You don't want anyone to perish. Thank You that Your desire is for them to be saved. And you're worshiping the Lord. You're giving Him thanks for these people because they're very near your heart. And you're bringing them to Him. And you're acknowledging that, Lord, look at all You've done to try to help them see. And you're still asking Him, would You continue Your patience with them? Would You draw them to Yourself? Would You teach them Your ways? You know, and then you're all the things you have. You know, the things that the Lord allows you to have, be thankful for. You know, and you're going to find out, you know what real riches are? Riches are how much a person enjoys what they have.
Amen.
That's really what riches are. It's not how many things you have, it's how much do you enjoy what you have. And if you are full of gratitude and full of thankfulness for the things that God has given you,
amen,
then it out of your heart will come a grateful heart, a thankful heart, and you won't do what you're gonna see this little article that my daughter wrote back when she was a teenager, an older teenager, in the bulletin this coming Sunday about her donkey named Teddy. She tethered her donkey because she wanted him to have some fresh grass. So she tethered him with a rope.
Huh? He was also getting in trouble.
Oh. So he needed some restrictions. But she took him and tied him. Tethering means you tie him with a rope to a certain area where there's a lot of rich grass. And the first day, he didn't eat at all. He was just so mad at having the rope that all he did is stand there and paw. That's all he did, just paw. He didn't eat anything. And the next day, basically the same thing. As you'll read in the bulletin, the story is, it took several days when he finally began to get over the fact that the rope was on him and see that all the grass that was around him. And he started eating, and it made her feel so good. And she said, wow, how must the Lord feel when he finally sees that we get over the limitations he's put on us and we start enjoying all that he's put around us. These came from meditations. See, this was even as a teenager, she was spending time meditating and drawing near the Lord. And these are things the Lord can give you. You can experience. And that is the goal of the new covenant, where the revelation and the instruction you receive is not all secondhand through the teacher or through the pastor, but it's coming direct. You and the Lord direct. That's what he wants. He wants to be your teacher. He wants to be your counselor. And you give him time. Develop the relationship with him. That's where I get the things that I share. And I'm no different than you. I'm a person like you. You can have your own closeness with the Lord and can receive from him special instruction, as just little by little as he teaches you. And as you, of course, as you begin to thank the Lord for many of these things, oftentimes it will result in this. You'll begin to bless the Lord for who he is. That he's kind, that he's patient, that he's loving, that he is wise, that he is powerful, that he understands everything you're going through, and that he cares. That he has a plan, that he is able to work it out. He's concerned for the things in your life. And if you reflect back, you can reflect back on how many times before he has shown you mercy, how many times he has helped, how many things he has done. Just again, not in a formula way, just encouraging you how to be in the Spirit and just seeking to enjoy these times. Remember, okay, it's not the words. It's not the words. It's the attitude of the heart. You know, it's a grateful heart, a thankful heart, a heart that blesses him for who he is. And then I thought I would just give us a few minutes for a testimony. If anybody had a testimony of just your own special time, you may want to just share something the Lord has shown you recently in just your own time with him. Anybody?
When I was younger, and they'd say, let's pray for 15 minutes, and I'd get down on my knees, and I'd time it, and I'd say, Lord, thank you, and bless, so on and so forth, and then I'd say, it's only 1 minute.
Yeah.
I learned that you can praise God.
Yes.
In everything, and you know, when you're praising God,
it can become. Remember our song. Yes. It can become sweet hour.
Yes.
Of prayer. Yes. It can easily flow into a lengthy time where you're not conscious of time.
Yes.
It just time. Remember, time flies when you're having fun. And if you're receiving joy, you're not going to want to rush out. You're not in a hurry to go anywhere. This is the goal. That it's not something we're just being forced to do. It's something we're seeking to discover the treasure and the blessing in. Anybody else?
Gotten into it that often because I'm getting into a lot of things. But when I first started getting into really talking to the Lord and studying, I would just almost the whole day, and she would tell me, well, aren't we going to eat? And I would listen to what I would tell her. Come sit with me and eat. And she would tell me, that's not food. And I would tell her, but this is the best. And so I kind of not, I have to limit myself, because I can be there all day. It's awesome to be in the presence of God, and you don't want to leave. It's just so sweet being there. And sometimes she has to remind me, I got to come back to this reality.
Yeah, let me just remind you, all of us know that most movies are about 2 hours, right? And if it's a good movie, you don't have any problem sitting there paying attention the whole time. So we know it's possible to sit still and to focus. It's just a matter of discovering the reality. You know, it may take time, but you know it's possible that if you're experiencing joy and it's rich, yeah, it can just go. The time can fly. And just, you know, what you may want to do if... And this is where I encourage you to be careful about the time you choose. You know, if you do it before you need to go to work, set your alarm. Because you don't want to be stopping every 5 minutes like, oh, what time is it? Oh, I got to leave. And, you know, I don't think that's good for you. If you need to do that and you're concerned that you may be so enjoying it, you may lose track of time, just set your alarm. Let it go off. So it'll let you know, okay, you need to get going. You know, that you can get that deep into it that it's just time will pass. You're comfortable, you're still, and it's such a sweet place. You know, there's that song, I love the song, "There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee near to the heart of God." There is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God. A place where we, our Savior, meet near to the heart of God. Joy is our goal here. And I think we need some help to pursue the treasure, like Rudy says, Proverbs 2. We need to seek and we'll find. Yeah. Ask and it'll be given. Knock. It is intentional, but it's in faith. Remember what the scripture says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those who come to Him must believe that He is and that He is the rewarder. What's He going to reward us with? His joy? His own presence? With wisdom and understanding? How blessed it will be to receive wisdom and understanding on a continual basis so that you make better decisions. You respond better. You recognize temptations. You begin to be changed. You experience this gradual transformation as your mind begins to be renewed. You understand God's will better. You do less things. You don't put your foot in your mouth as often. You don't have to apologize as much. You're slower. You learn to overcome temptation. You find a way of escape sooner. There's so many blessings. But it God wants it tied to the relationship. You know, some of us would like it. God, could you just create a pill that we can swallow and be perfect? I mean, you kind of want it that way. But listen, it's a relationship. And a relationship takes time. You build a relationship. You get to know someone. It's God wants this to happen in a relationship. You know, between interaction between two people. Yes. Sister.
One of the things that, you know, in prayer we're talking to God, but it should be conversations where we're talking to Him and we take the time to listen.
That's
to
right.
Respond to what He is telling us.
Right.
So it's a conversation.
It really is.
And I have a testimony of years ago, I was praying because I had gone through a divorce. And I was praying and kind of asking the Lord about what is my next step, what am I going to do. And the Lord showed me my cousin for me to call her. And so I called her and said, you know, I need to get away. Can I come? Not knowing that she needed prayer, because when I got there, she told me, when you called, I was getting ready to commit suicide.
Wow.
And she said, I had the pills on the bed. And it's like, we need to have those conversations with God. Mm-hmm. And that we hear Him and His direction. Right. And then not only hear Him, but do what He shows us.
Right. Yeah, brother.
I am so grateful for when we think of the subject of prayer that when I was about 9 years old, my mom and dad were at the point of separating, eventual divorce, and there were other things going on that weren't good, and I came down with spinal meningitis, was in the Santa Rosa Hospital downtown, and came out of there with side effects, and as any kid after school, if they're playing football, let's play football, running and playing, and then I would suffer with excruciating pain in my legs. But every night, without fail, and we lived in a small house, just my dad, my twin brother, and I, and Dad always got down on his knees and prayed at night, giving thanks. Thank you, Lord, for my boys, showing us that example. And we lived in a one-bedroom house for quite a while, so Dad just did everything, he did it as an example to us, but it wasn't lengthy prayers, but it was consistent, and it was all the time. And if I was in pain, he would pray for me at 1 or 2 in the morning, and Dad, I'm hurting. And my testimony is that lasted for about 2.5 years. Then they sent us off to a summer Christian camp up near Kerrville. And I tell people, I was born in Kerrville and I was born again in Kerrville.
Oh, wow.
At a Christian camp. And when I came home after experiencing an awesome born again conversion experience, just poured my heart out, asked the Lord to save me, I noticed no more pain in my legs.
Wow.
So it was a healing that came at the point of salvation.
That's sweet.
That I just give God praise.
That's sweet. That is so sweet. You know, we want to try to have time for questions. We're at the end of our time tonight. But as you go through this week, if questions arise, like for some of you ladies, call Dorcas or call Dina or call Debbie. You know, there's people around here that you can call and ask a question about this. You know, especially about reading. Let me go ahead and shut this off so that we can conclude our study here.